Praise the Lord. Jesus is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. Welcome to today's session. I am Dr. Ruth. I'm glad you are with me today to study God's Word, the ministry of Jesus Christ. If you are new to the podcast, welcome. This is an expository, which means verse by verse teaching out of the Gospel of Luke, which is the ministry of our beloved Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So today, we are still in Luke chapter 8. Hopefully you have listened to the previous session, which was Luke chapter 8a, the parable of the sower, how the word of God works in your life and in the kingdom of God. Friend, if you have not listened to the previous session, I highly recommend that after today's session, you go back and listen to the previous session, because as I mentioned, the Lord Jesus himself said that the parable of the sower is the foundational parable. If you do not have a good understanding or good working knowledge of the parable of the sower, you won't be able to understand how the kingdom of God operates in the here and now, how the word of God operates in your life. So it is so important that we understand that parable, okay? Because the word of God is God. God is his word. If you want to grow as a child of God, you need the word of God to work effectively in your life. So please, that is so necessary. So today we are moving along here, still in Luke 8. We are in verse 16. And the gist of these upcoming verses is that the Lord Jesus is going to teach about living as children of light in this dark world. Okay. So Luke 8, verse 16. The Lord Jesus continues, "No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light," right? Obviously, you don't want to, let's say you live in a home where you're using a lamp and you don't have electricity, okay? You know, there are some places in the world that, you know, some remote villages is just a lamp. Well, no one would put that light on and then go throw it away somewhere, right? You put the light on so that people can see around your home, right? Likewise, that is what the Lord Jesus is saying here, that as children of light, God is our Father. God is a God of light. God is light. As children of God, we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. So we have the light of God in us. So we should live in the light and not in darkness. Because as we live in the light, meaning that as we live in the truth found in God's word, as we allow the Holy Spirit to live in and through us, we don't live in darkness, we don't have all these secrets. Well, we will allow others to see Christ, i.e. the light in our lives, and attract others to Christ, okay? We move on, verse 17. "For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open." Absolutely so true. Number one, God is omnipotent, omniscient. God is all-knowing, omnipresent. God knows all things. So it is really stupid for people to think that God doesn't see what they are doing. Even unbelievers, God sees all things. He knows all things. So as a child of God, you might as well just live in the truth, because God sees it anyway. Well, besides, the Holy Spirit and God loves you so much, he won't even let you live in the dark, i.e. practicing sin or having all these little secrets that you think nobody knows. Well, guess what? Nothing is hidden. There are people who have separate lives. You know what? They compartmentalize their lives. On Sundays, they are holier than thou. Oh my goodness. In front of a preacher like myself, they act so holy, but at their job place, they are just like pagans. Or when nobody's watching, they just let it all loose. And you know what, friend? We have to represent Christ at all times, regardless of where we are, at the home, at the church, at our workplace. Our lifestyles have to be consistent. Our lifestyles have to reflect the light of Christ. Okay, we are the salt and the light. Nothing is hidden. So even all of the truths in the Word of God that we think we may not understand, at some point, it will be exposed to us, okay? Of course, the Bible says that when we die and go be with the Lord, we will know each other even as we are known. We're going to know all things. I mean, all of the things that we were wondering about, everything will be revealed fully to us. But in this present life right here, God, as our hearts are open and as we're willing and sensitive, God can reveal a lot of things to us that we want to know. And don't live a life where you have secrets, you're hiding things, because God will expose all things in due season. Okay, so we move on here. We are now in verse 18. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Exactly. That is exactly what I was saying. The Lord Jesus just talked about living in this life and being the light of the world, allowing your light to shine. And he is like, be careful how you listen to my teachings. Be careful how you live, because nothing is hidden from God. Okay, whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have even what they think they have will be taken from them. Let me explain this. Whoever has will be given more. This is a biblical principle. The more you are sensitive and the more you are attentive to the Word of God, I discussed all of this in the previous session in the parable of the sower. The Lord Jesus is just continuing this teaching here, which is why it's so important you listen to these teachings from the beginning till the end. You listen in context. That way you can get a deeper understanding of what the Lord Jesus is saying. Now, going back to this last verse here. For those whose hearts are open and are sensitive to the Word of God and they are receiving from God and they are growing, they are obeying, they are putting it to practice, God will reveal more truth to them. Did you get that? The more you desire, the more you knock, the more you seek, the more you receive, you obey God, you practice it, the more God reveal more truth to you. But if you are a passive, lazy listener, you don't really care much about the things of God and you're superficial, well, you know what? God is not going to reveal things to you because he knows you won't obey him, because if you are superficial with his word, he's not going to entrust you with greater truths because he knows you won't act on them. So that is why he says that to whom much is given, much is expected. As God reveals more to you, he expects you to act on it and he gives you more. On the other hand, if you don't care, you won't receive. That is what the Lord Jesus is saying here at the end of that verse there. That even what they think they have will be taken from them, meaning that whatever little that you think you receive from God, if you're passive, you do nothing about that, God would stop revealing more truths to you, because you, by your own action, will have quenched the power of God in your life, okay? So we need to be sensitive to our growth. We need to be sensitive when God is revealing more truth to us, that we are putting them to practice, and God will reveal more to us so we can be effective Christians and be more fruitful in our Christian lives. Okay, so we move on to the next verse, verse 19. Now, Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Boy, again, the Lord Jesus was very popular. The crowds were just throwing themselves all over him. And so it was hard for his own mother and brothers to get to him. Verse 20, someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you. Verse 21, the Lord Jesus replied, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. Now, let me clarify. The Lord Jesus is not disobeying his mother and brothers here by making this comment. The Lord Jesus is just alluding to the fact that we do have a spiritual family. We have a spiritual heritage. All those who believe in him and obey him, listen to his word, put it to practice, are considered family. So he is redefining what a family or a spiritual family is. Again, We all know that if you believe in the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior, regardless of where you are in this world, you are my brother and sister in Christ. That's really what the Lord Jesus was saying here. He was not disrespecting his mother. No. Okay? So we move on to the next verses. Coming up here in verse 22, the Lord Jesus is going to exert his power and authority over creation. He would calm the storm in the sea. Okay, verse 22. One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. Verse 23. As they sailed, he fell asleep. Whew. The Lord Jesus, of course, human being, 100% God, 100% in his human flesh, he was tired. He fell asleep in the boat. A squall came down on the lake. A squall is like a storm. Came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. So now, this is amazing. The Lord Jesus had asked his disciples to get into that boat and get into the other side. And this storm was coming. He knew the storm was coming. Come on, somebody. Jesus knows your problems today. He is quite aware. He knew that this storm was coming. And he was going to provide a phenomenal teaching here for them and for us. Verse 24. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are going to drown." So the disciples act in panic, okay? They just saw the physical storm and they panic and they were just screaming that they were dying. It's amazing how the first thing that came out of their mouth was negative. "Oh, we are going to drown." Don't we do the same thing today? When we are going through crisis, the first thing we think about is the worst case scenario, rather than the best case scenario, that God is with us at all times, friend. Boy, that is what I do in my own personal life. I've just trained myself to do that. I wish the same for you. Each time you are attacked with a crisis, rather than speaking out the negativity, how about you just say, "God is an ever-present God. He is with me right now." If you try that, it's amazing how you will just change the spiritual dynamics. Fear and anxiety will instantly leave you, okay? So, but in this case, we see these disciples right there with Jesus. And by this point in the Lord Jesus' ministry, these disciples had witnessed so many miracles. They had seen the power of God. Yet they had this storm and they panic. Let's find out how the Lord would respond. He got up. This is the Lord Jesus now. He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. Friend, the Lord Jesus, with just a word, the storm was calm. Did you get that? Likewise today. One word from God, one word from God's word that he quickens in your spirit man can change your life forevermore. One word. We do not need to panic in crisis. We just need to get into God's word, look for a promise, and call upon God and allow God to use that word to minister to us. One revelation from God will change your life forever. Do you believe this? I hope you do. Let's see what happens here. We are in verse 25. After the Lord had calmed the storm, "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. Exactly. The Lord Jesus is like, "Don't you guys believe that I can handle this? Where's your faith? You could not even believe in me. You were panicking." Friend, is the Lord Jesus asking you the same thing today? Are you panicking about your problems? Are you verbalizing death instead of life? Are you chronically worrying about your problems? The Lord Jesus is like, "Where is your faith? I'm here. Call upon me. I'm an ever-present God to help you." Okay, friend? In fear, we're moving on. In fear and amazement, they ask one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Of course, he is God. Jesus, God 100%, in the flesh 100% man. So we just learned about how the Lord Jesus exerted this power and authority over his creation. Wow. Friend, if Jesus can command the storms to be calm, don't you think he can do much, much more in your life Don't you think he can take care of that problem that you're worrying about today? You know, a lot of times we forget that we serve a God with infinite power. If we can just train ourselves to trust the goodness and faithfulness of God in our lives, we will save ourselves hours of headache and worry and sicknesses and diseases that can come along as we worry. Friend, the moment fear starts to come at you, anxiety, just call upon God. Just get on your knees and say, Lord, I need help right now. Sometimes that's all you got to do. That is enough prayer. If you say that in sincerity of heart, God honors that, and that fear and anxiety will leave you. We do not need to panic. God loves us. God cares about the tiniest details in our lives. God knows our problems. We don't need to sit there and figure it out. He gives headaches. Cast that thing to the Lord. Call upon God, okay? I hope you received that in Jesus' name. We pick this thing up here in verse 26. Ooh, the next upcoming verses are phenomenal. The Lord Jesus would exert his power and authority over the demonic realm and manifest the infinite power of God and teach us that he has power and authority over the demons. So we should not be afraid of the devil. Praise the Lord. This is Dr. Ruth, friends. I'm glad you are with me today. You know, I want to remind you that God is a giver, right? I'm sure you are aware of that. Likewise, God wants us to bless his work. So, as you are being blessed by these teachings, I ask that you open your heart and bless us back with a financial donation so we can produce more of these teachings and pay for studio time, because our heart desire is to reach more people. We don't want finances to limit God's work, but God depends on you, his children, to give back into his work so we can do more and reach many more people about the gospel message of Jesus Christ, and allows these teachings to transform their lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible teaches clearly that God loves a cheerful giver. So today, would you consider being a cheerful giver? Because God is going to be certain that you are blessed abundantly. Okay, here is what the Lord says out of 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8. I want to read this to you so you're encouraged to give, because it will be a blessing to you. Let's go over this. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 8. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Verse 7. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. That is a promise, friend. As you give into God's work, as you bless us with your financial donation, especially as we know these teachings are blessing you, and you stand on God's promises, such as what we just went over, 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8, God is faithful. God will bless you back abundantly, exceedingly. You're going to enjoy the peace of God. You're going to just have a sense of joy knowing that you're partaking in God's work and spreading the gospel and transforming lives. God will bless you back. So friend, open your heart to give into this ministry so we can reach more people. So here are some ways you can donate. We have a very safe and secure website. All you need is internet access, and you can donate anywhere across the globe. Here is that address, drruthtanyi.org/donate. Again, drruthtanyi.org/donate. And if you live here in the USA, we do receive donations through Zelle. Here is that Zelle telephone number, 909-501-9031. Again, that number again is 909-501-9031. And then we accept donations through Cash App. And the address there is the $ Dr. Ruth Tanyi. Again, the $ Dr. Ruth Tanyi. Friend, I thank you in advance for opening your heart to give into God's work so we can pay for studio time and produce more teachings to bless many others and spread the gospel message of Jesus Christ. We thank you in advance, and you can be certain that God will bless you back abundantly, exceedingly. So here is the teaching. Okay, so verse 26. They sailed to the region of Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. Verse 27, when Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. Wow. Isn't that something? Verse 28. When he saw Jesus, now this is this man possessed by demons now. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" Let me pause. You see, this was not this man speaking. It was the demon speaking through this man. He was demon possessed. Right away, there is a message here. The demons recognized Jesus, just like today, as a child of God, indwelt by the triune God, living in obedience, living in the light. When you come into an environment where there are demonic powers, they shrink because they know who is in you. The Bible teaches us greater is he who is in you than him who is in the world. Friend, you do not need to panic when you're going into an environment where it's demonic or practices, because you come with the light of God. Satan recognized that he is afraid of you. Do you believe that? Do you have that kind of confidence in the God that you trust? I do. Hope you do too. So these demons in this man recognize Jesus. So they've called him out, Son of the Most High. I begged you. So these demons are begging Jesus now. I beg you, don't torture me. So they knew that their time of torture is coming. The demons are begging now. Verse 29, for Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. So the Lord Jesus had spoken life into this man and commanded the spirit to come out. Now the demons are trembling. Oh, come on. Just like when we proclaim, we decree the word of God over our circumstances, demons tremble. They are afraid of truth. So when you speak truth over your life, speak it boldly, because Satan trembles. Okay, going back here, let me just reread verse 29. For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demons into solitary places. So we are getting a picture here how this man was being tormented by these demons. He was in chains, hands and foot, and these demons were just tormenting this man. Oh my goodness, what a miserable picture, friend. We still see that today. Demons, the spirit of the evil one, Satan, is still tormenting people today. You know, let me just say, this is coming to heart right now. As a child of God, indwelt by the triune God, Satan cannot possess your body. Let me clarify this right now. If you are a true believer in Jesus Christ, if truthfully, genuinely confess faith in Jesus Christ, Satan has no power and authority over you. The only power and authority Satan has over you is if you allow him to, through fear, doubt, and then you start to delve into the demonic realm, and then you would open the door for Satan to come into your life to cause havoc, to kill, steal, and destroy. Satan has no direct access to you only if you allow him to, through fear, unbelief, and living and practicing sin. Satan cannot possess you because you are possessed by God, the triune God, and you are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Now, Satan can truthfully suppress you. Satan can attack you. Satan can just cause havoc in your life if you allow him to. But remember, you have power over Satan, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. You have God in you. So Satan cannot possess you, but he can suppress you through fear, through doubting God's promises and God's word, through you living in sin. Then Satan can suppress you, make you feel like less of a human being, and really quench the power of God in your life, make your Christian walk a shame and a disgrace, thereby suppressing you as a human being. And by you allowing fear, anxiety, doubting, and practicing sin to fester in your life, you will quench the power of God in your life. So Satan will just come in there, and have his lunch with you. I hope this is clear. So you cannot be possessed by Satan as a Christian, but Satan can suppress you if you allow him to. But for the unbeliever, it's a whole different ballgame. The unbelievers can be possessed by demonic spirits because they are not children of light by their own choosing. So I hope that is clear here. Okay, so this man now has lived many years of torture from Satan. And so now in verse 30, Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" Jesus is asking the man, "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. Verse 31, and they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss, or the bottomless pit. So these demons walking and speaking through this man, they were begging Jesus, "Don't throw us in that bottomless pit there." Ooh. Verse 32. Now, let me ask you, why is it that the demons were begging the Lord Jesus not to just throw them in that bottomless abyss? Well, because Satan is a spirit. He needs a body of a human being or an animal to inhabit and then to wreak havoc, okay? Just so you know. Okay, we are now in verse 32. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. Here we go again. Oh my God, Satan cannot do anything in your life without your permission. You see? See, there's a free will here. Satan was begging, and Jesus said, "Oh yeah, just get into the heads of pigs and go." Likewise, Satan cannot get into your life without your permission through ignorance or disobedience. I have already explained that. So there are people who have this wrong notion that, "Oh, I'm just being attacked by Satan." Well, let me clarify. Satan is out to devour the child of God. He is the accuser of the brethren. He will attack you whether you are living in sin or not. Let's get that straight now. When you are willfully disobeying God, living in sin and doubting God's word, you give Satan direct access, easy access into your life. That is the difference, okay? Versus a Christian who is just living a righteous life and Satan is just attacking them. Well, yeah, Satan would attack, but that Christian who is living a righteous life and is being attacked by Satan stands a better chance to overcome, because that Christian is grounded and rooted in the word of God versus somebody who is living and practicing sin. That person's situation is worse because you have given Satan full permission to access your heart and cause havoc. Did you get that? Okay, so we have a role to play here. Okay. When the demons came out of the man, they went, I am now in verse 33. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the head rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. So the demons got into the pigs, and the pigs were drowned in the lake there. Verse 34. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this to the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Oh, I just love it. What a picture of redemption, how this man that was tortured by these demonic spirits was delivered, and He just sat at Jesus' feet, just a sign of gratefulness, a sign of appreciation. I just love it. Okay? And the people in the town, when they saw that, they were afraid because they had seen this man being possessed by the demons. So we move to verse 36. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. A couple of things here. Why do you think these people asked Jesus to leave? Number one, it was a financial loss. The pigs had all been drowned. So they had chosen financial gain over receiving light, God in their region. Isn't that something? It just goes to show you free will. And the Lord Jesus didn't push it. He didn't argue with them. He just laughed. Friend, there are people that would not want you to be around them because they know that you are living a righteous life. There are people who are living in sin. They don't want you around because they are afraid of the person you represent, Jesus Christ. Friend, don't push it. Just like the Lord Jesus here, these people in the town, they wanted him to leave. They didn't want his truth. They didn't want the light. They wanted to live in darkness. They wanted the money over truth. Jesus just left. Likewise, friend, even though we are called as the salt and the light of the world, we should not cast our pearls in front of swines, as the Lord Jesus himself teaches. We have to get to a point where when people outrightly tell us they don't want to see us around because we stand for righteousness, we need to respect that. Don't force a door to open when the door is shut. That's the principle here. Let it be. God sees your heart and God will redirect you elsewhere, whereby your message will be received and you would be blessed. So don't push it, okay? It leads to frustration and that's not God's best for you. So the man from whom we are now in verse 38, the man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, meaning to go with Jesus. But Jesus sent him away saying, return home and tell how much God has done for you. So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus has done for him. Amazing picture of God's grace. This man wanted to just follow Jesus from town to town. Jesus is like, no, you go to your town, you go spread the good news, you go tell your neighbors about the goodness of God, the grace of God. And this man obeyed and went and did. This is a sign of true repentance, true love and appreciation for what God had done in his life. He went and spread the news, and we are not told here, but more than likely many people believed, and because of his testimony many people became followers of Jesus Christ, because this man was known in the town as a madman. Friend, I want to end here this session. A lot has been covered here. So what is the key principle and application we've learned here? Number one, nothing is hidden in the eyes of God. God sees it all. God is omnipotent, all powerful, omnipresent. He is with you, omniscient. He knows all things. So nothing is hidden. So you might as well just live like live as a Christian, okay? Don't have secrets. Don't live a lie. Be truthful to yourself. God sees it. And God honors truth. And we also talked about the power and authority of the Lord Jesus over creation and over the demonic. God possesses infinite power. God is greater than the devil. Boy, isn't that obvious? Satan's power is limited. God's power is infinite or unlimited. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. I just have to keep recording that scripture because a lot of times we forget that we have God living on the inside of us by faith. That power is in us, okay? So we should not be afraid of Satan and his lies. He's a deceiver. So the key application here is that same power that the Lord Jesus exerted here and that same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is in you, we are told this all over the scriptures. Romans 8, 11 teaches us that, and 1 John 4, 4. We have power and authority as children of light to overcome Satan, to overcome hardship, to live in victory, and to stand on God's promises and overcome. Nothing is impossible with God. That same Jesus who was exerting his power over creation and over the demonic realm is that same Jesus who is available today, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. That same Jesus is available today to help us if we can yield our hearts to him and we live in the light and we genuinely and honestly are seeking godly truths. God is with us. So God is an awesome God, and we are blessed. So this brings me to the end of this session. I just hope you've been blessed here today. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for your word. We thank you that that same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is on the inside of each of us who are followers of Jesus Christ. We receive that by faith. God, I lift up all the listeners. I just pray that you just show them through your Holy Spirit how to stand in faith and trust you, how to activate that power that is in them and overcome, how not to live in fear, anxiety, or worry. Teach them how to trust you, trust your word, because you are faithful. Thank you, Father God, for your blessings go before them today. Your joy stays in their heart. Your peace is their portion today. I thank you, for I have prayed in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all those who agree say amen. God loves you. Listen to the announcer friend and find out how you can support us financially with your donations so we can pay for studio time and produce more shows like this and advance God's kingdom and spread the word of God to transform many lives. Would you prayerfully consider donating into this ministry so we can do more teachings like this and pay for studio time? God is so faithful. He will bless you back abundantly. I thank you in advance for your obedience. Please listen to the announcer now. God loves you.
Friend, as some of you already know, this program is financially supported 100% by love gifts from listeners like yourself. So please, would you help us with a donation so that we can produce more programs and bless others? We need your financial support. To make a one-time donation, visit our website, drruthtanyi.org. That's drruthtanyi.org. Look for the donation button and donate right there. It is a very secure, simple, and easy process. Or, for more of an impact, would you prayerfully consider becoming a Christ-centered monthly partner with us? While on our website, you will find all of the information about becoming a Christ-centered partner. As a monthly partner, your regular prayers and financial support will enable us to produce more Bible teachings in order to reach more people and transform their lives with God's Word. For those of you who prefer regular mail, you can send your donation to us. Here's the address: Dr. Ruth Tanyi Ministries, P.O. Box 1806, Loma Linda, California, 92354. You can also email us with your questions about becoming a partner. Here's the email address: info@drruthtanyi.org. That's info at drruthtanyi.org. Or you can always call us at 909-383-7978. Dr. Ruth Tanyi Ministries is a federal government-approved 501c corporation, which means that all of your donations are 100% tax-deductible, as allowed by the law. We thank you in advance for your kind donation and prayers. We pray for God's love and presence to anchor your soul today in Christ Jesus. I am Chris Oram. Stay blessed, and goodbye for now.